Hi, this is James Shramko from Fast Web Formula, and today I'm talking to a really dear friend now, because I keep seeing him everywhere and he's such a nice person, but he'll never admit this publicly. Welcome to the call, John Carlton.
Hi, James. How are you doing?
Good. Now, we have talked about sales writing, copywriting a number of times, and when I was thinking about what I could talk to you about today, in preparation for your Australia tour of Fastweb Formula 2, was I'd like to probably poke around in a few different areas than what we've talked about before, but also I want to get your sort of update on where it's at in internet marketing, because you've been around from the beginning of internet marketing.
Accidentally.
Yes. and I think there's a reason why you keep getting dragged back into mainstream internet marketing, to the point where I know that one of your students has just beaten the record on the ClickBank marketplace with a sales letter.
Right.
It seems that no matter where I go, everything still points back to you and direct response marketing. I'd love to get your comments on this.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I want to talk to you about that stalking incident in Vegas, where everywhere I show up, you seem to be. So I think we have to get clear on that. No, seriously, always good to hang out with you. And by the way, as we get started, I want to invite people to use the comment section if it's working. If they have a question here, you know, I'll pop back in and if you have something specific you want to ask me or something, you know, I get along so well with James, and I rely on him for the cutting edge stuff that I don't have time to get into or I don't clearly understand. I'm really happy to do a little bit extra here and pop on and just see if anybody has any comments or if they have some questions or something. So let's start off with that. And then as far as what's going on in the business, you know, you say things seem to come back to me. That's given me way too much credit. I have just become the guy trumpeting the old school salesmanship stuff that everybody else either doesn't know about or hasn't used to the extent that they've been able to see it work. As you well know, it doesn't matter how old you are, how hip you are on the web, or what your background is. Once you try old school salesmanship in your marketing, you're a convert. I mean, it's very easy to happen. So that's why most of the people I get along with, the age levels are all over the place. I'm in my late 50s. Most of the people that I hang out with are anywhere from their early 20s through late 60s. Anybody that's online, and the connection thing is not marketing. The connection thing is understanding the value of old school salesmanship, which is so cool because it's been out there forever, and it's everything that is good about marketing. It's everything about not worrying about the bright shiny objects that are coming down your path. You know, a lot of people get online and they are immediately overwhelmed with the volume of crap that descends on them, and the technology you must learn, the technology or software you should learn, the stuff that other people are using that they're saying they're making a lot of money on, and you know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. There's some things that are fads. I mean, if you take advice from somebody from a 6 months ago, James, on using Google to, using pay-per-click, you may get slapped, if you're using SEO tips or even slightly out of date. So it's kind of like this gauntlet everybody's running through online, and they get I understand why people get frustrated and a little bit scared, and they're thinking, well, maybe I should try this fad, or I should try this, or I should listen to this guru do something. And what's great about old school classic salesmanship is that when all the dust settles, if that's all you're good at, you can hire out the rest of the stuff. You can hire out somebody to make sure that you're towing Google's line. You can make sure that you're doing enough to get at least good enough SEO. To make sure that your social media is at least, you know, reaching the right numbers of people. But you're closing using old school salesmanship, and that's why it's when people try it, they wind up being instant converts, and they and it actually makes your life better. I've been saying for a long time, salesmen, good salesmen, ethical good salesmen, lead better lives than everyone else, because all you do is you say, I want that in life, or I want this goal, or I want to do this, and you know how to get it. You know how to go after it. You know what you need to do. You know how to find out what you need to say to persuade people to agree that you're the guy they should be dealing with, that you should be the one let in. I mean, it's just, you know, in Vegas, Shrek, you and I were sitting stage side at David Copperfield. That isn't because we're nice guys. It's because we are consummate salesmen, and we kind of, you know, we are respected for our salesmanship, but also we sell ourselves all the time, so that we wind up with privileges, we wind up with a better position, we wind up in a whole bunch of different good places that without salesmanship we would not be there. And of course, you come from the working with car sales stuff, which has a black eye, as does direct marketing. But when you use it ethically, it's the only way to go.
Yeah, I guess something that's important there, I'm going to pick up on the face to face element of sales, mm-hmm. has always mm-hmm. been the most persuasive one, and you've been able to take a lot of that and. You're one of the early pioneers in online marketing. You actually tipped that into blogs and podcasts and emails and webinars.
I had like the third marketing podcast on iTunes back in 2003, I think, or something. Dean Jackson helped me do it. I had to use his geek to be able to get on there. But I had an early podcast, and it was called How to Write a Damn Good Ad in 9 Minutes or Less, something like that. And it was up there for years. I think I haven't checked it. And I haven't done another one, but I was one of the first. My blog was one of the first up, the first marketing blogs. And it was really just a accidental discovery. It was like, oh, that's cool. And when I say that's cool, the stuff that I hear about, the bright, shiny objects that come rushing down the pike, whether it's social media, you know, which didn't exist back when I started the blog. In fact, blog was still, people were saying, what's a blog? And they talk about, well, it used to be a web blog, and it's shortened to blog, and they'd say all this stuff. You know, they had to explain it. Now it's part of the culture, part of the language. Back then, the only thing I ran any of this stuff through, whether it was using email, whether it was setting up web pages, doing anything on the web page like name capture or squeeze pages or having some kind of funnel, using the blog, I ran it through a simple little thing in my head. Was this a new vehicle to reach prospects and customers more efficiently and get my sales message across? And a lot of the stuff gets back to, it's just a vehicle. The web is just another vehicle. Yes, it's a bigger, fancier, better vehicle. It's kind of like a jet plane versus a horse and buggy, which was, you know, direct mail and print advertising and stuff. But still the idea is to get you to a certain place. And that place is a conversation, as you said, as close as you can get to a face-to-face conversation with a prospect for your stuff. So, and now we're using video so much. You know, you've talked about, you were a pioneer in using email, video and email, right? Weren't you one of the first to jump on that? And that was instinctual with you. That was getting back to the idea that, hey, you know, getting back to that face-to-face, you and me sitting here talking about something that we both have an interest in, and I can help you, and let's see what we can do. The closer you can get to that, the better off you are, right?
Wow. It sounds like we came into internet marketing with a similar thing, because for me, the epiphany was sitting in that motor dealership, and I could only sell that particular brand, which was Mercedes-Benz, to people in that particular area. And the internet for me was like, hang on a minute, I can sell any product to anyone in the world. So I was thinking of it from the marketer point of view of how do I get access to more market? And you've just explained that. You treat it as salesmanship multiplied or something to that effect. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that's actually a term from direct mail, James. That goes back to, you know, we used to talk to people who could sell in their store, like they had a storefront. And if anybody walked into the store, we'd ask them, if a guy walks into the store and he's interested in what you're selling, will you sell him? And if the answer was anything close to yes, then we say, then why not capture the sales message you give that person that walks in your store and multiply it times we used to say thousands of people, you know, and their eyes would get real big and they go, oh my God, yeah, direct mail. Or we'll go into a magazine or newspaper and you reach, you know, you'll reach 10,000 people with the local newspaper, you know, and their eyes get big. And then of course the web comes along and it's suddenly millions of people and people that don't, you know, they have to translate your message into another language and, you know, people that are on different time zones and it just starts multiplying. I mean, we've kind of reached the max with the web. We can't really sell people on Mars or the moon yet. Although if we discover people there, we will be doing it and we'll be using classic salesmanship too.
Yeah, and I think you'll be setting out the first channel to it, I imagine. This is it's such a strange thing, but you're one of the people who I speak to on Skype every week or two, and you're the most insistent about utilizing the video medium, and it reminds me of one of my mentors early on was my grandfather, and he went out and installed fax machines into timber yards so that he could send orders via fax. And they didn't know what a fax was. He actually bought the machine and put it in there. But you seem to have this mix of, it's like old and new, but I mean, you're a very hip direct response writer. Is it true that some of your clients are utilizing all available channels? It's not just internet, it's not just direct, but now they're trying to get the entire marketing rollout through different channels.
Yes, that's true. But I also wanted to mention that back when your grandfather was doing that, he had to use, I just want to thrill people. There was a thing called thermal paper. Do you remember that for faxes?
The one that disappears like a Mission Impossible.
Well, it can, yes, but it would you'd have to burn on this. I mean, the stuff was so old. I of course, when I was in high school, we had mimeograph paper. They would crank the mimeograph machine to get copies and stuff. The world is just advanced. My father grew up in the agricultural age, essentially, you know, morphing into the industrial age. He first saw snow in Belgium in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. He was digging a foxhole in it in Germany, and he witnessed the birth of the nuclear age and then the information age. And he's fine. He's 90 years old. He's still cooking. He's online. I talk with him on Skype all the time. He loves to get on and use the video thing on Skype. And I keep thinking, everything he's seen has been so wild, yet what we are seeing now, the generation's moving now, we're kind of numb to it, but it's happening so fast that we forget that the world used to move in generations. It used to take a generation or more for something to change. You know, the change from the Bronze Age to the whatever the next age was, I forget, was, you know, thousands and thousands of years and maybe even longer than that. And then it started getting shorter and shorter. And now, you know, it's like Google and Verizon are getting together to plot the end of the internet as we know it, which won't happen, but it, you know, things can morph. You know, if every day I wake up, it's like I clip on, you know, I click on the news on my iPhone and wonder, okay, now what fresh horror awaits us today? You know, what new changes and stuff. So everything is very, very different. As far as melding the old with the new, let's say 8 years ago, even I was trying to get a lot of my clients to go online. It was new back then. They thought, well, wait, people won't use credit cards. I mean, this is old for a lot of people that's probably listening to this. But there were a lot of obstacles that had to be solved before a lot of marketers felt comfortable going online. So I was urging people to get online as soon as possible, going back to 1999, 2000, things like that. Now I'm trying to urge people who are primarily online to test offline stuff, because people that report that they are using direct mail again are getting astonishing numbers. So what they do is when they have a list, they'll go in and they'll do something simple like, hey, I want to ship something to you. You know, even if you've been primarily using ebooks or virtual products, go ahead and say, you know, you're going to ship something to them, or just ask them for their address. Say you want to send something to them. Most people under, I'm going to say 35, but maybe under 40, have never received a personal piece of mail, you know, in the mail before. It's a new thing now. So you know, we have to quit thinking about technology as being, you know, use of, you know, monitors and you know, flowing data and things like that. Direct mail is like a new piece of marketing equipment for a lot of people. I mean, you know, to get a personal letter done in the right way so that you open it, it's like, wow, you know, Shrackmo just sent me a letter. I can't believe this. And it looks like a personal letter, all that stuff. It's all, it's never not been viable, but it's even more viable now than it was before. And it's a whole different channel, and it's a channel where you aren't competing with anybody. One of the good things about going online is that the costs are very, very low, but the competition is very, very high. You are a twitch of a muscle in the forefinger of your prospect away from being gone from his life forever, and he's off to your competition. Direct mail and other forms, if you've got his eye with a printed page, you've got it. There's no other printed page within, you know, within reach of him. You know, he can put your letter down or put your ad down or something and go somewhere else. But there's a whole bunch of psychological things going on. We tend to forget. That's why I love science fiction. One of the tenets of good science fiction is that at the end of the day, and this is something like Isaac Asimov and Ray Bradbury excelled at the end of the day, despite all the bells and whistles of the spaceship or the aliens invading or all this stuff, we are really fragile, tender creatures operating way outside of our comfort zone in the dangers of a brave new world. All kinds of things. I mean, you know, Shrek, you and I are probably going to die sooner from radiation just from our oversized monitors, you know, the size of a drive-in movie screen that we're looking at. We have to have all the latest bells and whistles and stuff. And that's great. But we are just, at the end of the day, humans. And we have needs. We have physical needs. But most of all, we have emotional needs. And good salesmen understand that the sale may be talked about in very concrete, logical terms, like this is a great investment, this will do this for you and this for you and this for you and blah, blah, blah. And all that stuff is important, but the sale is made through an emotional connection with one person to another saying, you know what, you're right, this is what I want, and you're the guy I want to deal with, and I agree with you, I should do this right now. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it doesn't matter what the vehicle. This whole thing is that you've got a sales message and it can transform your business. So I'd like to move into, let's move into the audience. You recently had a guest post about this on your blog about understanding your customer.
Right.
And you were talking about, it was talking about vampires and zombies. And the funny thing is I read that post and I completely knew exactly what was going on there because I've seen the movies. And I've got PlayStation here. I mean, I've got four kids, so this really is a laboratory. And but the funny thing is, I got an email from one of my Filipino outsource team, and they're amazingly talented. But she said, I got my Shrampco spy alert, and I found myself on Carlton's blog. And that post was a Stego, she says. That means it's hardcore, badass, awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then she wanted to know where we can go and get demographics for our audience. So that being the lesson, and I've taken that in, our audience of people coming to Fast Web Formula 2 are here because the whole point of Fast Web Formula 2 was not to have bright, shiny objects. When you look at the mind map, there isn't actually a strand for bright, shiny object, you know, go and buy 10. It's just the things that you need to know.
Yeah.
And you're there on the sales message. That's your section, and you'll be covering that in depth at the event.
But I will.
The person coming to that event has probably already got a website. They've probably even got an autoresponder, and they most likely have some type of sale, whether it's a report or an affiliate sale, or they're selling to corporate clients. Let's talk about a couple of things that they can focus on between now and the event so that they can mm-hmm. really hit the ground running to be able to ask you the next level of questions.
Good point. Sure.
So where do they start? What are the basics when you break it all down? What are the things that are most important?
Well, what's interesting in the Simple Writing System, which is the flagship program that we have, where we actually mentor people and with professional writers actually look over your shoulder as you go over a 17-point system of learning how to create a sales message, whether it's going to be a video, a face-to-face, a written sales page, anything, those 17 points. The reason I bring that up, the first point is market research. That means before you put pen to paper, before you start typing, before you do anything like that, you get yourself grounded. You find out where you're at and where you fit. Actually, the first 3 points are finding out who your customer is, doing market research on your market, and finding out what you have to say. We call it the elevator speech, which I'll be actually running people through at your event. And they will have that. If they don't have that, then they'll have it at the end of the day when I speak to them, I believe on Saturday. And by having that stuff, this is all pre-technical writing, but it is the most essential parts of putting your sales message together. A lot of people, that's really what they need, is those first three things. And then the rest of it is like, oh, then it all starts to fall into place. It all starts to make enormous sense. And in that research and finding out where you are, it can be as simple as looking at your competition. If you're in a crowded market, look at all of your competition. Now, there's a trick to seeing what the competition is doing. If you know who's rocking it and who's failing, then that's good, because then you can look at the guys that are failing and say, oh, okay, look at it critically and say, where might they be making some mistakes? And if you know somebody else is really doing well, you can say, they're doing well. Where in their funnel or their writing or whatever there is happening online, where might they be making the magic happen? And when you do both of those together and you start looking around, pretty soon, very soon, in fact, you will be able to look at a new site that you've never seen before, and you'll be able to guess within 90% accuracy whether or not that's a site that's working or whether it's failing and they're struggling, because you will start to identify the things that are happening. A lot of times, if you're going into a crowded market, the disadvantage is that you have a lot of competition. The advantage is competition has done a lot of the groundwork for you. You can start to figure out, well, you know, what have they how are they speaking to their prospects? How are they approaching them? What are they saying? And these are things that, you know, lists you can make of, well, this is the way that Joe X is approaching his market, and I know he's doing really well, so I'm going to critically, you know, use this as possible things that maybe I should be mimicking or I should be looking into. And then start doing your own research. And as soon as you start getting any kind of prospects or people signing up, like in that blog post that we had, you can start doing ask campaigns. And one of the good things about, having a back and forth with people, if anybody that's looked at my blog, you know, we typically get 50 to 200 and more comments, and there's little sub threads and people going back and forth and answering each other and asking questions. And it's a lot of fun. Half the fun of my blog is in the comments section. That's where a lot of interactive stuff happens. And what we find out a lot is what people think, what people agree with, what they disagree with, where they're. And a lot of times we'll just ask them, what's the biggest problems you're having, things like that. If you have 10 prospects on your list, you're going to get 10 answers if you have a relationship with those people. And that's better than nothing. And sometimes, you know, you'll hit it. I guess the main thing is to realize that almost all businessmen, when they trust only their intuition, are wrong. And that's also what was in that last blog post. You know, just your intuition, if it relies on facts or what you think, if you think the world should be a certain way, or you wish the world was a certain way, if you wished a certain type of person would respond to your message, or you think they should, you're going to go off a cliff really soon. You have to look at the world the way it is. So regardless of what you think people, or regardless of what you think the reason is people should be buying your stuff, you need to find out why they actually do buy your stuff. And if it disagrees with your idea of why they should, you may think, hey, this is the best priced bargain out there, and it's the highest quality product out there, and that's how you want to sell it. You're hanging your hat on that. You're really proud of this. And you find out after talking with some people that, well, no, they bought it because it fits in well with another product they have, and that kind of hurts your feelings. You know, as a businessman, you don't care about your feelings. You care about making the sale. So you change course. It's like, okay, this is a bargain. It is a high quality. But I understand a lot of people are buying it because it fits in well with X and other products somebody has. So then you start piggybacking. You do what needs to be done. And often the people that have bought or are thinking about buying will give you the answers that you would spend 10 years ruminating about and guessing about and thinking about and maybe never come to the right answer. So there is a lot of intellectual work done in figuring out, you know, where you're at, and a lot of critical thinking, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. But a lot of that can be shortcut by merely looking at how people actually behave, what they actually buy, what they really, what they say they want. Now, you can't, that said, there's a lot of caveats here. And one of it is that a lot of times people will say they want something and do something else. So it's what people do as opposed to what they say they'll do. But first off, if that's all you've got is an ask campaign, ask them what they want. That's better than trying to guess. Does that make sense, James?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So we get this theme of research and testing, and
which the web is custom made for. That's why, you know, a lot of guys coming into marketing, if you do nothing other than get in the habit of testing, which old school guys like me don't necessarily do. When, you know, testing to us meant sometimes waiting months for answers because it would go out in the mail or in a magazine. We have to wait for, you know, you have to put in the ad in the magazine 3 months before the issue actually hit the stands. You'd have to wait a month while it played out. Then you'd have to get your stuff together, do another ad. So testing could take a long time. In the web, you can do it in an hour sometimes if you've got traffic, or not even an hour. You can do it in real time. I remember Eben Pagan telling me how when he first started his program, they were doing real-time testing because they were getting so much traffic. So they would change it and watch the numbers change before they were finished typing, or not before, but, you know, as they posted the new, they finished typing, post the new headline, watch the numbers change. I mean, that is exciting. That's what blew my mind more than anything else online. I can't get my head around this multinational, global, you know, reach of online stuff. You know, I got readers on my blog that I'll never meet. They live in parts of the world I don't even know the names of. I couldn't point them out on a map, you know. And I can still get my head around that. But this idea of instantaneous feedback is so mind-boggling. I think that people that grow up taking it for granted are missing the world-changing nature of being able to test in real time or very, very quickly and do stuff. It's changing everything. It's taking intuition out of the game. However, having said that, I should say that you still need to be able to test the right elements. So classic salesmanship tested is the most potent marketing tool you will ever have in your belt. You can be technologically inept from the very beginning. You could be sitting there not knowing how to turn on your computer. You know, the Macs have that little secret button in the back, you know. You know, you can be that dumb about the software and the technology, but if you understand how to sell, you can hire all that other stuff out. You can have somebody else come in, shake their head, say, "You're an idiot. Here's how you turn it on. Here's how you get a website up, blah, blah, blah." And you can say, I don't get it. But if you understand how to sell, how to connect and how to communicate and have a relationship and do that, that's the most important thing.
So before the event, someone listening to this should go out and really sit down and think about where, you know, who is their customer, what other things are their customers buying, and why did they buy from them? And then they start taking that data and then tuning back up the sales process. Is that the next logical step?
You know, I had a doc once tell me, I don't think he was doing it on purpose, but I asked him whether I should do a certain procedure. It was a very minor procedure, but it was thinking, I don't know, and he paused. He thought, you know, if you were my brother-in-law, I'd tell you to do this. And I thought, wow, what a great line. And that's what we all want to do. Whether it's your brother-in-law or think of it as your best friend. If you were my best friend, what would I tell you to do? And if I can get in that position where you feel, if not, you know, but actually we have a consulting program here called Be John's New Best Friend for a month. You pay a certain amount of money, an ungodly, outrageous sum of money. But for a month, I treat you like my best friend. You have my home phone number. You have my my private email, and I'm going to respond to you, you know, like I would my best friend. In other words, you're getting top of the list of responses, and I'm telling you not just the truth. I'm telling you what I think about the truth. So I'm saying, well, this is what you should do, and here's why I think you should do it. But here's what blah 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 and things like that. So you know, back off of that a bit. If I could treat, you know, if I could get everybody on my list in a position where they felt they could really trust me, and they should, because that's the way I treat everybody. But that's what you want to go for. That kind of yeah. There's 100,000 people on your list, but still, each time, each person is a single person reading your email or reading your blog or somehow, you know, interacting or responding to you. It's still a one-on-one situation. So that to me is the very essence of the of the sales process is again, to bring it down to a human to human thing. And I think I went down a rabbit there. What was the specific question you asked?
I was just saying, would the next step be to take the research data and then put it back into the sales process, you know, tune up the sales message? Yeah.
There you go. That's why I went off on that. The you know, the pieces of information you get should keep you should be able to read your website let's call it a sales page, whether it's a landing page or a web page trying to sell something or a video. People understand it better with video. It should be conversational. You should be able to have a front look at and be like, yeah, that's Shrek talking or that's Joe. I get that. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be who you are and treat your customers as somebody you would treat if they walked in and sat down at your desk or sat right next to you or you met them on a park somewhere. How would you talk to them? You wouldn't talk to them in highfalutin terms. You know, when one needs a scotch of high quality, one chooses, you know, Duke's label. No, you wouldn't talk like that. You say, hey, I've drinking a lot of scotch in my life, and you know what I like? I like Dewar's, you know, white label. That's what I get. In fact, let me buy you one right now. Let's go. And you wander off. So the more you can bring that down to that human level, you know, don't think about writing as something alien to what you've been doing all your life. If you can talk to another person, and especially if you can talk to another person and persuade them to do anything, then you've got the basic elements of good salesmanship there. Then it's a matter of just kind of honing those minor skills, not minor, they're actually major, but the skills that are just part of communication, learning how to tell a good story, learning how to be persuasive in a way that is not annoying, knowing how to deal with people's natural tendency to say no to everything that they're obsessed with. People are just contrary. You know, they're not going to agree. I tell people at seminars sometimes to go home and try to get a friend to go see a movie you know they'd like. And people think that's easy. You go home, you go, hey, Joe, you should go see this movie. I really liked it. I think you'd like it too. And the natural response sometimes will shock you. They will say, yeah, I was thinking about seeing that. I don't know. And they won't go see it. You know why? Because you told them to go see it. That suddenly has put up an obstacle in their path that they're unconsciously, they're not going to do it because you mentioned that they should go do it. However, if you understand salesmanship and stuff, you might say, hey, you know, I saw this movie. I kind of thought about you as I saw it. I don't think you should go see it, but because it's kind of scary and a lot, you know, it's kind of a horror film. And the guy said, well, wait, I love horror films. Yeah, but you know, I don't know. This one really shocked me. I got scared and I was thinking about it later. It was great. I loved it, but I'm not sure you would, you know, that kind of, you know, persuasiveness. You know, that's one small tactic in a pantheon of tactics. But, you know, I think people understand that kind of child psychology thing. Once you know that persuasion is not a matter of bullying somebody into doing something or somehow overwhelming them with facts and stuff, but rather, again, a human-to-human interaction where you're seducing them into making up their own mind. Once you realize that, of course, that all ties right back over to the to car salesmanship. You know, you can't order somebody to get a car. They've either made up their mind or you're helping them make up their mind, and then it's their idea at the end of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the decision for the client to buy. If you create the right environment to help them make that decision,
right? That's why salesmen that's why classic salesmen lead better lives. They just understand the nature of persuasion. It's when used for good, when you have an ethical product, when you feel good about making a sale, when you feel good when a new person comes into your world and joins your list, and you're going to have a new opportunity to wow them with everything you know and everything you have and the fun that exists from being inside of your world. That should be a really good, positive, wonderful thing. You should feel really good about doing everything you can to persuade somebody to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to join your list. I'm going to see what you got. I'm going to come to your event. I'm going to buy your product. I feel good because you got a good, you know, you got good testimonials. You got a great guarantee. I feel real comfortable. That's what you want. You want that the same way you would want somebody to treat you if you were doing something that at the moment was maybe out of your comfort zone. You know, you and I know, you know, I haven't bought a lot of the people that you and I know. I haven't bought all of their products. Sometimes I'm still thinking, and it may be, you know, 6 months down the line, I will buy it. Maybe I won't. I don't know. but it's not automatic. And I know these guys, I trust them. I know that what they have is quality. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to make the purchase. There are those, we call it knocking them off the fence. In fact, that's one of the steps of the Simple Writing System, is to make sure you can, you know, getting somebody up on the fence where they say, you know what, James, that's, I agree with you. That's a pretty good product. I like you, and I probably should someday maybe buy this down the road. And that's being on the fence. A true salesman knows to knock them off the fence. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, if you buy it right now, you know, whatever, you can get into sales, you can get into added value, you can get into any kind of limitation, or there's a lot of things that you can use. And we call these, you know, tools in your kit. And they are techniques. They're techniques that work. They're not hard to learn. You do not come across them intuitively, usually. I've never met a real salesman. I've met guys who seem to be naturally brilliant at it, but they've all had mentors. You had a mentor. I had several mentors. These are guys that just kind of took us under the wing and said, you know what, here's a couple of tactics. And then if you go on and read, or you start looking at life critically, so you say, I just walked into Best Buy and I bought, you know, and you look back at it, you say, well, you know, that was a damn good salesman I just ran into. The guy understood my needs, understood how to match my wants with an actual product, and made it seem like it was really easy, and I wasn't, you know, I could bring it back. But I hit all the right buttons, and I wound up buying all this stuff. So, you know, if that happens, start looking at it critically, start breaking it down. What just happened? Why did I buy from that guy? Why am I reading this guy's blog, you know, week after week? Why am I going back? Why am I going to James's, you know, event? You know, especially if I went to the first one, why am I going again? What has he done? You start breaking that down. Then starts, you know, once you get that toehold in, you start understanding the few techniques that are the easiest to learn. Then the what seem like hard techniques also become easy, because they all build on each other. It's all trust, it's all mutual understanding. It's all being truthful and laying out things in a logical way that pleases your cerebral cortex, which is the logic side. It also pleases your lizard brain, which is where the emotions are. So you feel good about it. Also gives you those little sound bites you can go back and tell all the people who doubt you. Like you walk back and your spouse says, "You bought what? I can't believe you did this." And you could say, "Well," and then you give her four reasons, or him four reasons, why it was a good buy, why there's no risk, why you did it, and until they finally say, "Wow, that makes sense now. Okay, I understand why you did that." And that's why, again, why salesmen lead better lives. When you know how to present things, you are not left hanging. You need to convince somebody else what's going on, whether it's make a sale, whether it's get the kid to go to bed on time, whether it's convince somebody to take a vacation. All people said, Gary Halbert said this. He was my main mentor. And I'm not sure if your people know who Gary Halbert is, but they soon will. He used to talk about, we sell all the time, all through the day. And you really do. If you have a job, you sold yourself on getting a job. If you're married, you sold yourself on being the right prospect for your spouse. If you've gotten anybody to do anything ever, you're rudimentary parts of it. Maybe you're actually better, you know, more advanced than you think you are. But if you haven't sat down and critically examined the art of persuasion, and not by reading another book, by the way, that's, you know, most people need to stop reading books and start getting involved with life and start acting. And that's why our seminar was called the Action Seminar. James, you flew out and you were spectacular there. You know, All about getting down there. Stop reading. Stop pretending it's going to magically happen for you. Start getting engaged in life and start using it. And salesmanship, fun when you start using it. When you start actually understanding how the art of persuasion actually works in the real world.
Hey, I'm glad you covered that. The pushing them off the fence. It's one of the three things that I think I've drawn the most from my experiences with you. The other two I'm going to ask you to cover at Fast Web Formula. One of them is deadlines, and other one is bullet points, because I think those three things have made a big difference to my own marketing. So just in closing there, you've given some really good tips on research, and I think we understand why selling is so important, and then what you can do with that data to turn that into a conversation. back into the dialogue so that you're naturally persuasive without being overbearing or rude or upsetting your customer.
Or just being ineffectual.
Yeah. Well, that even worse. Yes. I just want to say thanks very much for your generous offer to answer comments. I'm going to get those comments enabled on the blog, and
sure.
I'm really looking forward. It's actually it's just a few weeks away, really, our event, and I can tell it's going to be very, very exciting.
Well, you know, you told me there's only a few spots left, and I am astonished there are a few spots left. This is in Australia. I was listening to Ed Dale complain about having to come up to Sydney for the event. I mean, you know, you guys got to get over your provincialness. This is in an easy to reach major city in Australia. People are flying in from all over the freaking world because James has you've entered the guru stratosphere, you know, the jet stream of important stuff. And, you know, I intend to learn as much as I'm going to help other people learn. I'm not coming there just as a favor to you or to use this as a, you know, normal venue for pitching my stuff. I'm coming up because it's going to be a unique event, and Dean Hunt and Ed's going to be there, and some other guys that are old pals of mine, Brian Johnson, a good friend of mine, and we're all coming for a reason. You know, that's a long trip to make, and I'm actually looking forward to it. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And I think there may be an opportunity, James. I don't want to get into it now, but there may be an opportunity for post-seminar connection with the people and stuff. I'm going to be around another several days, so we'll see how that plays out. But if you're serious, if you're listening to this and you're serious about your future as a businessman, whether it's online or offline or both or whatever, this is the one to go to. This is going to be a killer event. I can't wait for it. I know that I've listened to the other interview. The other guys are getting kind of excited about it. That's really rare. Most of the events that I've been to in the last year or so, not counting my own, have been yawners. It's like the same old thing. James, I think you mentioned it. Half the action goes on in the hallway. They're not in the room listening to people talk. I don't think you're going to allow, you know, people are going to, you know, be bouncing their legs, you know, waiting for the break because they're not going to leave the room early to go to the bathroom. So that's a rare kind of event. And I think if you're in country, it's a no-brainer. And if you're out of country, you should know that a lot of people are flying in for this because it's that kind of event.
That's it.
And that's the end of my pitch for you. So.
Well, you know, thank you, but I passionately believe this event is going to change lives. There'll be around about 200 people there, and those people will have an advantage over everybody else because they're getting access to the best information from the most important things that you need to know, not the bright, shiny tactics. This is actual information from who I think are the best people in the world to deliver this directly to, you know, my customers, and that's what it's all about. So it's awesome catching up. I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks' time.
Okay, sorry about going over time there. I just went about 50 minutes, so, but once I get going, I can't shut up. I'm incapable of it. So good talking with you. Pardon me?
We don't mind over delivering.
Okay, good deal. Okay, Shrek, I'll be talking with you soon.